Welcome to the new and first ever edition of The Thought Police in 2025. It's a brand new year. Kevin O'Sullivan's here with me. Very good afternoon.
Happy New Year, Mike.
Happy New Year to all of you.
And a happy New Year to all of our fucking listeners.
Wankers. listen, we should probably start with an apology because we got a bit crazed towards the end of the year last year and we couldn't do a sort of Christmas edition podcast, which we wanted to. But the main reason we couldn't do it is because we have to do all this other stuff and all this other shit. And then you have to go on holiday. I have to get myself sorted out with the family and everything. So we're back. And there's going to be plenty to fucking talk about, by the way, because Donald Trump's going to be president in around about just over a week's time, really, by the time you start listening to this. We've got Keir Starmer, still as fucking useless and unpopular as he was before Christmas. Nothing's changed. In fact, if anything, he's probably become
he's
even more unpopular.
He's definitely made it a lot worse.
He's made it worse, hasn't he?
His performance this week,
his far-right shit.
The far-right shit, branding everyone who wants, who feels that the need for a new inquiry into the grooming gang scandal.
Yeah.
Far-right. I mean, no one will ever forgive him for that. This fucker.
How can he keep getting it so
this
wrong?
This useless fucking wanker just stumbles from one avoidable catastrophe to the next. You know, he didn't need to say that. So there's millions of people around the country, I think probably including you and I, thinking, well, something needs to be done for these kids, for these thousands of victims. Now, I actually can see,
not least, I think, a rounding up of all the fucking people who conspired against them to make sure that nobody ever got done.
So I can see the argument against a public inquiry, because the problem with public inquiries is they never achieve anything.
Right.
And what they do is they kick the can down the road. I would not object to a public inquiry. What I'd rather see would be an immediate rounding up of all the fucking coppers, all the fucking social workers, all the councillors, all the officials, the authorities that turned their backs and let those kids get raped and prosecute the fuckers.
Yeah, absolutely right. Because that is where the truth of this matter lies. This is where the crux of the matter lies. And forget about whether or not the Labour Party is intrinsically racist. It is, right? Forget about the fact that they are consistently more likely to blame white people for things than brown people for things. And I say that without any fear or favour. I'm not saying you know, that I delineate, because I don't, and neither do you, between people with different coloured skin. But the fucking Labour Party does. And if you are a Muslim in this country, and if you are a pro-Palestinian supporter in this country, you get treated differently by the police, by the fucking local council, and by the Labour government than if you're white. It's
and
as simple as that.
Fucking idiot Starmer still thinks it's somehow racist and right-wing to go after the basically the Muslim Pakistani guys who did all the rapes. He still thinks that's racist. That was the problem in the first place.
Of course.
All these coppers and social workers worried about being called Islamophobic. So they let the fuckers get on with it. Now, there's another element to this that we well know. And this is why Labour don't want any action on this. They don't. It's not just a public inquiry that they don't want. They don't want the subject to be brought up at all. Because, of course, it brings into sharp focus the performance of the Director of Public Prosecutions from 2008 to 2013, one Mr. Keir Starmer, who didn't fucking prosecute a single person. He fucking boasted this week. He boasted this week, you know, I was the DPP who green-lighted the possible prosecution of grooming gang members. Grooming gang members have been operating, raping thousands of underage girls for something like 20 years by then. And throughout his tenure, everybody knew about this. He can't turn around and say, I didn't know, because in 2011, the Times newspaper splashed it all over its front page. Big investigation.
Who was Andrew Norfolk, wasn't it?
Yeah, who was arrested? Who was charged? You know, under Keir Starmer,
which investigation was started in Rochdale, in Oldham, in Telford, in Oxford, in all of the places where this stuff went on. And, of course, what he did do, and he's right to, sort of, I suppose, claim credit for this, he did appoint that guy, Nafir Azval, is it? Who was the sort of guy in the Yorkshire Dales who became the sort of the prosecutor of the grooming gangs.
But that was his parting gesture.
Yeah, that was his parting gesture. He did give him the power to do that. So I guess we can give but what we can't give him is any kind of credence and credit for going after these gangs because he didn't want to.
And I'll only reluctantly give him that. I mean, very, very late on, he did something. But under his tenure, when everybody well knew this was going on, not a single fucking arrest, Not a single fucking charge. Yeah. None of these grooming gang rapists were brought to justice under him.
Yeah.
His parting gesture was, we better do something about this. So, you know, fuck him.
And one of the other things that I've been told, and this is from police officers who worked around those times and in those parts of the country, and they've said that what the CPS did under Keir Starmer was they raised the level of, shall we say, the doctrine of proof in order to bring a case. So what they did was, they didn't want to have a load of cases that would fail. They wanted to have more success. So what they did, like all politicians, they doctored the fucking scenario. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what they said was, right, we will only prosecute cases which have got an absolute guarantee of success.
In other words, they made it very difficult.
They made it really hard for police to bring charges against these grooming gangs, because they kept saying, well, what's the proof that you're going to get these guys? Yeah. Because the girls, as far as we're concerned, are complicit in these actions, right?
Now, exactly.
They blamed the girls.
Exactly right, that it was a lifestyle choice on their part.
And so therefore they never get convictions.
But now that he's calling all of us far right and want action on this...
Twat.
You know that this fuckwit, this fucking idiot in number 10 Downing Street, he still thinks it's racist to go after these Muslim rapists, these Pakistani rapists.
Yeah, of course he does.
He still does.
Yeah.
So fuck him sideways, and also fuck Tweedledee and Tweedledum, that is horrible little sidekick, Jess Phillips. Oh. What a cunt she's turned out to be.
Well, she has turned out to be completely utterly useless. She spent her entire life as a Labour opposition minister calling for the crucifixion of all sorts of people who sexually abuse children, and suddenly now she's in a position to crucify them. She doesn't want to do it.
Yeah, and I wonder why that is. That would be because, I would speculate, that if she loses the Muslim vote in her constituency, she loses her constituency.
Of course she does.
She loses her political career.
Well, she only doesn't... just managed to salvage it, because she nearly lost it in the last election.
Now, should the Labour government, I don't think they're going to do it, but if they did sanction a full public inquiry, that would alienate the Muslim community. Labour Party needs Muslim votes for the next election, and more to the point,
isn't it tawdry though?
It's horrible.
How on
Jess
earth?
Phillips is just—it's self-preservatory. Mm. That's all she's trying to preserve her own career by not offending the Muslims in her constituency. And I totally agree with you, Mike. That it's absolutely disgusting.
Because what
that's
it does
the way
as well,
these people
what
think.
What it does as well is it gives the lie to this, you know, this so-called multicultural experiment. I mean, even Keir Starmer's called it a fucking experiment. Because what we're left with in this country is not a series of multicultural and ethnically mixed towns and cities. What we're left with is a bunch of cities which have been effectively taken over by a different culture, right? Like Leicester, like Bradford, like fucking parts of Birmingham, like parts of Manchester, like parts of
Rochdale,
London.
Rochdale, of course.
Rochdale, Oldham, all of these towns in the north of England, some of them closer to the Midlands as well, where there is no multi-ethnic society because it's mono-ethnic. It's completely and utterly
exactly
fucking
right.
Muslim.
These are Islamic communities.
Yeah. Like Bangladeshi communities in London, for example, you now go to what
Whitechapel,
is it? So Whitechapel, where they've got in Tower Hamlets many, many more ethnically Muslim people living, where they've got Palestinian flags flying everywhere every fucking day, where if you go to the local tube station, the sign for the tube station at Mile End is in fucking Bangladeshi. It's in Urdu.
Fucking
you know, how the fuck has this happened?
Yeah, well,
and how has it been possible for normal British people to put up with it to the point where we're now feeling, or lots of people are feeling, that they've had their fucking freedom taken away?
Yeah, exactly, you know? Right.
That's how people feel.
And these communities, I mean, the point about the Muslim communities, they call it, you know, it sounds like a cliche, but it is only fair to say vast majority of Muslims, decent people, trying just like the rest of us, trying to keep a roof over their head, feed their kids, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the Muslim community have a very, very loud minority who are a massive, great pressure group, and they terrify the fucking arse out of Keir Starmer,
but you know
Jess
what
Phillips.
Been, what they've been very clever at doing, many of these people, particularly from that part of Pakistan where the grooming gangs come from, because it is from a very small region of Pakistan where most of these people come from.
Yeah, that's interesting, though.
Which is very, very clear to most people who know anything about the story, right? What's happened is that they have come to this country and they have become very politicised, because they know that in order to gain power in any place, you get into the local council, you get into places where decision making happens, right? And you end up having places like Oldham run by the Muslims, places like Rochdale run by the Muslims. So when any problem arises, which is in the Muslim community, nobody else finds out about it.
And have we got, we've got, I believe in Westminster right now, five MPs, specifically independents, voted in on a Gaza ticket, free Palestine.
Absolutely right.
So, yeah, they are, they take it, that, well, they're trying to take over. And what we, if you ask me, you know, these are the people who want Sharia law. Right. They want.
And one of them got up, if you remember, when we were having the debate about people marrying their first cousins, and actually got up and defended it in a British parliament and said, you know, this is a very useful way for the Muslim community to sort of...
happens everywhere.
To strengthen itself, you know, to make life easier for people coming here.
He said it's a common practice in Central Africa and East, South Asia. Asia and the Middle East. It's like, oh, well, if it's a popular pastime, a culture in Africa, then, well, let's do it.
I mean, how is how is that a fucking selling point for anything?
Exactly.
You know, female genital mutilation is also a popular practice in parts of Africa, but we're not fucking having that either.
Exactly right. And of course it does happen in this country.
Yeah.
And the problem with this country, Western cultures, but particularly Britain, is, you know, because of the likes of Star, we've become terrified to challenge this. If we say, wait a minute, you know, you're turning entire towns, entire cities into no-go areas for white people, for British
people. And for the police in lots of
The police don't want to go. You know, we're terrified to say, well, fuck you, you can't do that.
Well, do you remember
we
during
let
the
them
riots,
do it.
Do you remember during the riots when there was a lot of talk about two-tier policing? And, of course, Keir Starmer, when he was asked the question, what do you say to people who say there's two-tier policing in this country? It's not an issue, he said, in his pompous way, right? Because he doesn't believe that anybody
else who
disagrees with him is fucking right, right? But do you remember there was two things going on? There was the riots going on in various places where white working class people were showing their absolute fucking disdain for the police, for fucking migrants in hotels. You know, you might argue that they overstepped the mark. Some of them did. Many of them have ended up in prison for much longer than they should have done. However, do you remember the West Midlands business where Muslim men were walking down the street with machetes, threatening white people, telling them that they were going to be fucking
killed? The police just fucked off.
And the police, not only did they fuck off, they went to speak to and consult with community leaders to find out from them what they should do about it. They didn't fucking go in two-handed with fucking riot gear and batons. No, they fucking left the area and they went and spoke to the elders of the community to say, you know, we obviously know that tensions are running high, we don't want to do anything to upset you. Fucking cunts,
it's got
to
fucking stop. It's fucking outrageous. And you know, the trouble is, we have a prime minister, we have people like Jess Phillips, who just, and Angela Rayner as well, she's got a lot of Muslims in her.
And they get money as well.
They
from
completely
these people, let's not
kowtow to these.
Well, who can forget that fucking scene? Do you remember just before the election of Angela Rayner
only
sitting
woman
in a room
in the building,
with a load of so called Muslim elders, right? The only woman there, all right? And fucking sitting there promising them God knows what to make sure that they voted Labour. It's fucking disgusting,
it
actually.
It really is disgusting,
isn't it?
And, as a nation, we've got to stand up against it. I mean, you know, no problem if they want to live here as decent citizens.
Yeah.
It's not about racism or Islamophobia. It's about, this is Britain. This is our culture.
Exactly.
No, you can't fucking have Sharia law.
No.
And by the way,
you can't slit the fucking throat of a sheep in the middle of the fucking town.
And by the way, if you think a woman should cover her face whenever she goes out, I mean, you can go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
as
exactly.
As far as I'm concerned.
I mean, some women should cover their face. To be fair. But that's just the ugly one.
Let's have a look at them before. Yeah. Let's have a look at you before we decide.
Pass the ugly test.
Robert Jenner and the Tories have now raised this issue and said we've got to think about letting people in who come from cultures with medieval attitudes to women. Now,
and I'm so glad that he's actually saying those words and saying those things. It's enough fucking time has now passed that we might as well tell the truth.
To require a woman to completely cover her face apart from a slit where her eyes is medieval.
It is medieval.
It's probably
do you know what? It's not practiced in an awful lot of Muslim countries, you know? We practice it here, and I've said this before, you know, my daughter's been here millions of fucking times, and she says she sees more burqas in London than she sees anywhere in the Middle East.
Yeah.
And that includes Saudi Arabia, by the way.
I'll tell you, it's just a side story, which I'll talk about my sunshine holiday in a little bit.
How was Barbados?
Well, I'll tell you about it in a bit, but I'm just going to say that it was very hot, and I was walking down the beach one day with Henrietta, and there's a Muslim family, these little guys there, and there's a fucking woman with the kids in the sea, right, in the ocean, right?
up to about chest.
Yeah.
Sort of held,
fully
sort,
clothed.
Yeah, with a complete hatchet, you know, burqa thing. You could only see.
Jesus.
And I wanted to turn to the blokes. I said, what the fuck are you doing right. making a fucking swim right. in that hajib?
Right.
Or burqa or whatever right. the fuck you call it.
Yeah.
You know, they're all little guys. They're fucking wankers. Right. It's just ridiculous.
It is bizarre, isn't
it's
it?
It's ridiculous.
And also, what do you think is going to happen? That you're going to become so inflamed if you cast your eyes upon the beauty of her naked flesh that you're going to rape her? Oh, no. That's what they do.
Look, if you... Yeah, exactly right. Sorry, yeah, that's right.
Actually,
yeah.
We're not a fucking Western rape gang. We're ordinary white guys who, when we see a woman in a bikini, we don't immediately think, oh, I know, I'm going to just go and fucking jerk off on her face.
You're right.
You're fucking going to leave her alone. You might say, she's got a nice arse, but then you go and get yourself a cocktail and sit the fuck down.
Exactly right. And that's... you're right. I haven't really thought about it before, but, you know, this hijab burqa business... says more about the main Muslims than does female.
Well, they can't control themselves.
They believe that they'll be uncontrollable if they see a woman's face.
Right.
Fucking hell.
Jesus.
I mean, this is medieval.
It really
is.
This is
medieval.
And the good thing is that we can look forward, I think, to it. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can complain about over the Christmas period and over the way that Starmer has stewarded this country. But one thing we can look forward to is the fucking inauguration of Donald J. Trump, 47th President of the United States of America, because he's already changing the world and he's not even in charge yet.
He really is, isn't he?
It's fucking great.
It's extraordinary.
I'm fucking loving it.
It's extraordinary. Yeah. He is changing the world.
Yeah.
You know, not ruling out invading Greenland.
Love it. Yeah. Can you say that there won't be any kind of military intervention?
I can't promise.
No.
But it's, you know, over in the States, I've talked to quite a few people over there and, you know, it's a sort of massive sea change.
Yes.
It's as if the chains have been taken off a country that has been shackled by Democrat wokery.
And that fucking idiot Biden.
Yeah, by those fucking idiots. And, you know, it's like the country is flowering again into what it should be, the greatest nation.
And also, have you noticed, because I have, I think I'm right in saying, that there's much less animosity in a way to Trump this time, because the ordinary people who were kind of like, oh, we don't really like Donald Trump, don't think we really should have him as president, they've all now seen that when he was president, things were a lot better for them.
Yeah.
You know, Biden's ruined fucking America, right? He's ruined their reputation around the world. And because Donald Trump is cleverer now than he was then, he knows more about the way to run the country, I think more people are actually going to get behind him and going to go, do you know what? He is going to make America great again, and why the fuck not?
Yeah, and even though we've got the problem of this awful Labour government who will preserve wokery as much as they can, it is changing here as well. Mm. I mean, you know... you can sum it up, the whole fucking, the imprisonment of wokery is this. You know, up until a year ago, you know, if some fucking idiot walked in the room with a beard and a dress on, you had to say, that is a woman.
Yes.
You had to say she or they.
Right.
Now, if you now, as I prefer to do, say, that's a fucking bloke in a dress.
With a cock.
That is not a woman.
Yeah.
That's a bloke with a cock. Putting a dress on doesn't make you a woman. Now, if you'd have done that a year ago, you'd have been cancelled.
Yes.
And you do it now, nobody's going to say anything.
Yeah. And that's interesting as well, because what we can now see, and we've seen it with Mark Zuckerberg immediately from Facebook, you know, the wokists have suddenly gone into retreat. Because let's face it, at the end of the day, most of them are fucking cowards, right? They like hiding in plain sight with a group.
And hunting in packs.
Hunting in packs. If they've got a group around them who all say, oh, yeah,
cancellation
that's definitely
is about
a woman.
We can cancel
Kevin O'Sullivan because he's on his own. Nobody's supporting him. But there's 25 of us, and we can cancel Mike Graham because he's horrible. He's a bigot. Yeah. He's a fucking bastard. No, now they're all shitting themselves. Because now the power is with the fucking Trumpians and the power is with the fucking realistic people who have had enough of this shit.
They really have, and it's empowering people all over the world. Canada clearly has said,
fucking Justin Trudeau,
Canada obviously said right.
Good fucking riddance for that.
Yeah, Canada's obviously said right. America's got Trump. We'll get our own fucking Trump.
Right.
Get rid of this prick.
Yeah.
And
have you seen that great guy? We ran an interview.
The guy
that's eating the apple. He's got a very French sounding name. I can't remember what it is. But he's got this ridiculously useless journalist questioning.
I heard it, lefty
going, oh, but you know, people say that you're very Trumpian, and he goes, what people? And he just takes the piss out of the guy. And the guy literally doesn't know what he's fucking doing.
I know.
And I love that. I think it's time we started calling these wankers
out. And it's happening
in
Germany. It's going to happen in France. Unfortunately, here, we'll probably have to wait 4.5 years. But it will
I don't think we will. I've been saying this to the point of boredom, I'm sure. But I'm still sure that something is going to happen, something catastrophic is going to happen to the Labour Party. It might be the grooming gangs. It might be something else. You see Keir Starmer this week, we found out that he still is taking freebies for the fucking football. What an absolute arse, right? He was the guy that told us, well, we're going to change the culture, even though it's within the rules, we're not going to take any more freebies. Well, how come he's taking £1,000 worth of football tickets for fucking the Emirates Stadium? What an absolute twat.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous.
He's taking the piss.
Yeah, but I think that... I think, you know... He can't connect with ordinary people. No. He can't speak human. There's something weird about it.
There's something very weird.
And also, I think he's just thick.
Yeah.
I think he's thick.
Yeah.
You know, no sensible politician would brand everyone far right if they want an inquiry into raping kids.
Yeah, right.
What sensible politician... You know, if you just thought a little bit ahead, saying, wait a minute, but if I say that, people will get upset. He's so stupid.
Yeah.
He doesn't see that coming.
Right.
He's so Trump...
Do you not think it's also the fact that he is this massive lefty? He tries to hide it. He tries to pretend he's not Jeremy Corbyn. He tries to pretend he's interested in, you know, making the NHS work better by sometimes working with the private sector. He tries to make out he's not an absolute and utter fucking communist. But I think he is. I think he's so poisoned in his head by left-wing ideology that he can't do anything else.
I think to an extent I agree with you. Yeah, certainly he is... consumed by left-wing ideology. Does he really believe in it? I'm not sure. I don't think this guy really believes in anything. Mm. You know, he is the classic of that. You know, if you don't like my opinions, I've got others.
Yeah, right.
He just wants to be liked. Mm. He just wants to be...
How's that going?
You know, not so well. Right. And he just wants to be in power.
Yeah.
You know, so in order to get into power, half the reason that the British nation is so fucking furious with him is never before, you know, when there's a campaign trail towards a general election, you know, you don't expect every politician to be a gleaming pillar of honesty.
No.
You know that they're going
to... he takes it to a new level.
Exactly right. These Labour lot under him, the public, part of the reason they're so fucking furious is they lied through their fucking teeth.
They did.
To get into power.
And they must have known they were lying.
Yeah.
It's not like they were telling the truth at the time and they thought they were going to be able to do things that they then later found out they couldn't do. They were fucking lying.
They were just lying.
Barefaced.
So there's that. There's obviously the winter fuel allowance. There's the attack on the rural community with their
VAT on private schools.
VAT on private schools. Now, of course, calling us all far right.
Yeah.
This guy, as I say, all of these problems are totally avoidable, but he hasn't managed to avoid them. I'll tell you another little story that we were trying to get together today, but didn't quite work. But it's true. There's a golf course, right next to Chequers. I think it's on Chequers' land.
Okay.
Chequers is the Prime Minister's country home, of course, in Buckinghamshire.
Yeah.
And I think it's called Ellenborough Golf Course. Now, the tradition there is that every Prime Minister is automatically made an honorary member of this club. Because it's part of the Chequers estate.
Yeah, okay.
So they, as a matter of courtesy, they extend the offer to every Prime Minister. And obviously, thank Prime Minister go, yeah, thanks very much. So Theresa May was an honorary member. He comes in, and more than 100 years they've been doing this. He comes in, he said, we'd like to offer you an honorary member. No, thank you. He turned them down.
Really?
Crass and rude.
Yeah.
The members, you know what they think? And I think they're right. He hates rich people.
Yeah.
Because he's so old fashioned.
But he's fucking rich, though.
But he's, multimillionaire and hates rich people. Because he's so old fashioned, because he's like a 1970s socialist, he thinks golf clubs are full of rich Tories. Rich Tory racists.
Yes.
And you know, you play golf, I play golf. That's just not true anymore.
Right.
No, it hasn't been for many, many years. But you know, that fits right into what we were saying earlier about him. This sort of, he's a slave to his ideology. Yeah.
But
I don't even think he's particularly attached.
But it's so condescending, isn't it?
Yeah.
But I wonder, well, maybe you're right. Maybe he does all these things because he wants to be seen to be doing the right thing as a socialist. So that when he when he has his fucking dinner parties and he has these fuckers round, they can all go, oh, isn't it great the way that you rejected that fucking golf club membership? Isn't it great the way that you went after fucking Nigel Farage because he's a racist?
It's just nice people saying, we'd love you to be an honorary member of that club. So it's obvious you just, oh, well, that's very sweet of you. Thank you very much.
I probably won't be able to take it up. Because, you know, I don't really play golf very much.
Thanks very much. Can I have a tea time tomorrow?
Yeah, right.
No, but no, yeah, but you know what I mean? It's crass and rude to turn
No, because lefties are crass and fucking rude. Yeah, and we know that. Yeah, yeah. Because the nicest people, I'm afraid, in the political spectrum, if you look at it, are tend to be people, you know, kind of on the centre right, because they're more tolerant of other people. Yeah. I don't care what your fucking politics are. I'm not going to tell you to fuck off because, you know, you want to do something with the country that I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. But that's what they do.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're so awful. But listen, let's talk about Barbados, because you said that you had a good holiday. You got a couple of stories for us from your trip abroad? Yeah, okay.
So I've been there about a week, right? And it was great. It's a great place, by the way. It's very hot.
Yeah, I've never been.
30, 33 degrees.
Nice.
Swimming in the morning and all that.
A lot of rum drinking.
Yeah, we did a load of rum.
You got to treat. It's the only place you can drink rum, isn't it?
It got to the point. Don't give me another fucking cocktail. So I was just saying vodka and tonic, please. Ice and lemon. You get a bit sick of cocktails.
You do,
but it's fantastic. Lots of great food there. Anyway, after about a week, I woke up one morning. I looked like the fucking elephant man.
Right.
So, folks, I'm showing my wrists right. So,
oh crikey!
So I had I've got these little scars, right? So I had these blisters all over my body,
bloody hell.
All over. You looked at my leg,
like itchy.
Yeah, fucking itchy.
Right.
I thought, oh Christ, what's this? So I went to hotel reception to get me a doctor.
Right.
And then, of course, then I made the mistake of hitting Dr. Google.
Oh, yeah, you should never do that.
Yeah, yeah, no, within about half an hour, I was convinced I'd be dead in a week.
Of course.
So I thought I had something called, like, contagious psoriasis or blah, blah, blah. Anyway, the fucking doctor turns up. He takes one look at me. He said, I said, you know what that is. I said, well, what is it then? He said, sun poisoning.
Sun poisoning?
I said, what do you mean sun? What do you mean sun poisoning? Yeah. He said, well, you come over from places like England.
Yeah.
He said, we have the Caribbean sun is among the strongest on the planet.
Yeah.
It's got very high UV levels.
Right.
Basically, people, it's so strong that it can cause...
But did you put sunscreen on?
No, he gave me... Well, I was doing all that.
You were doing all that.
So I didn't do much. I don't sunbathe. Right. You know, I just walk around.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
But he said to me... I said, well, you know, yesterday I never even went in the sun. Mm. He said, yeah, but you were walking around, right?
Yeah.
And I said, well, yeah, of course. He said, well, that's what it was. A very strong day yesterday.
Yeah.
Anyway, he gave me this cream, and about half an hour later, most of it had gone.
Oh, wow.
How
bizarre.
That was interesting. I got another story.
Mm.
I made friends with these guys on the beach, local guys. Just morning guys. Anyway,
these are the guys that are selling shells and all sorts of shit.
Selling shells and marijuana and all that. Yeah, and they also ran the sunbed concession and all that. And anyway, they're obsessed with Britain, and everybody in Barbados, they've got a team.
Right.
You know, they support Chelsea or Arsenal.
Right.
So I made friends with this guy called Josh, who was a Chelsea fan, and so. Just before New Year, wasn't it? Boxing Day, was it? Fulham are playing Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. So I was down on the beach in the morning. I said, Fulham, he goes, yeah, you're going to lose, man. You're going to lose. Right. I said, well, I tend to agree. Anyway, later on when the match starts, I said, you're going to watch the match? Yeah, I listened to it on the radio. So me and him sat down on the beach to listen to the game, right?
And there's something quite magical about listening to football.
Yeah, yeah.
I quite like that.
Particularly on a sun-kissed beach. Yeah. Anyway, with a palm tree hanging over us. Anyway, around about 65, we went 1-0 down about 8 minutes, and you know, it looked like pretty inevitable. Although it was clear we were playing well, but you know, we haven't beaten Chelsea.
They played all right, actually, Fulham, when you were away.
No, we played very well, but we haven't beaten Chelsea at Stamford Bridge for 45 years. Anyway, around about 75 minutes, I just went, oh, fuck this, I'm going in swimming.
Yeah.
So I went into the sea for a fairly long old swim.
Yeah.
And when I came back, I go, so what was the score then? He goes, you won. I go, what are you fucking talking about?
Yeah, I remember this game.
Yeah, yeah. I go, what are you fucking talking about? I said, he goes, you won. Yeah. You just scored the winner in the last minute. I said, so we got an equaliser?
Yes. Right.
So we got an equaliser in about the 80th minute. So, you know, so he was crestfallen. And all these people are fucking running around the pitch, punching Brilliant. The fucking air.
The great sort of leveller, isn't it, football, when yeah. you go to, when you go yeah. abroad?
I mean, everywhere you go in Barbados, the guys
But everywhere say, you go in the world, yeah. people still talk about football. I mean, what do you make of old Elon Musk in Liverpool? I mean, I don't think it's going to happen. Elon Musk's dad says a lot of interesting things. We had him on the show this week. And, you know, Elon Musk could buy every single fucking football team in Britain.
Could buy the whole league.
If he wanted to. But I'd quite like to see him doing shit like that.
Yeah.
You know? As much as, you know, there are people that go, oh, Elon Musk, you know, he's a terrible man.
I'd love him to. I
like everything he does.
I do too. And it's quite fun what he's doing right now. Mm. But I think he'd like to buy it because it would give him a real kind of inroad into British life.
Right.
But I think the chances of it are quite fairly unlikely. I'll give you another story about the international language of football.
Oh, yeah.
So years ago when I was a young Sun reporter...
Mm.
I was sent to... I had to go to Marrakesh, actually, to find Joan Collins.
Oh, yeah.
Having a birthday bash there. But we could only get...
She's not very difficult to find, yeah. wherever you go.
Yeah. We checked into the same hotel. She was very pissed off because we had a much more expensive suite than her.
Yeah.
But anyway, we couldn't get a flight in. It was a Saturday afternoon. Around about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I think I was going down the pub with a couple of mates, and I get a call from the news desk saying... right, you're on a plane to Casablanca tonight. Yeah. I said, well, she's in Marrakesh. He goes, well, you'll have to fucking get a car or something, get across the... So me and this photographer, Nigel Cairns, we got to Casablanca, hired a car, and then started driving across the fucking desert around about, like, midnight.
Right.
Anyway, there's all these roadblocks. It was a kind of, you know... Morocco was quite...
Well, sort of semi-military
state. It was very much like that then.
Yeah.
So every sort of 10 miles, you get stopped by these soldiers and stuff. So we get stopped to this first roadblock, and they're all looking at us very suspiciously. And the soldier who's got a gun looking at the car and everything. And then he turned to me and said, you like David Beckham? I said, no, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I think he's a bit of a
cunt. Yeah. Who you support then?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said Fulham, and he didn't know what that was.
Funny.
But international language of football.
Have you seen Beckham, by the way, has made an absolute fortune? He's turned himself into this brand ambassador. Where we all used to say, do you remember you used to see these adverts where he'd be doing whiskey here and fucking clothing over there? He's now, the company he owns is worth something like 30 million fucking quid.
Yeah, he's got a personal fortune of 460 million.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
But don't you think he looks a bit weird now? He's had a lot of surgery.
To be honest, there are more weird people than him looking.
But he's had a lot of surgery. And he's got that sort of hair
His hair doesn't look right.
The hair transplant, you know, so...
Yeah.
I think he's lost some of his dashing good looks.
Well, maybe.
But Bram Beckham, you've got to hand it
He
to
must
him.
Be 50 odd now.
Yeah,
he?
Yeah, yeah. Bram Beckham, though, is amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
It really is. Well, listen, I mean, this is the first one of the new year, so we don't want to spoil everybody and go too long, but that's about half an hour. I have had a conversation with Pooch, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Who says he wants to get together and we must do a fucking show.
We're going to do a live show
in the new year.
Yeah, let's do it.
So we'll maybe pick a Saturday that we can both do it. When there's no football on.
Okay.
Or a Sunday.
Pooch is bang up for it.
He's definitely up for it.
All right, let's do it.
And in fact, even more interestingly, I was having a chat at Sir Piers's party the other night with Matt Kelly, who's our oppo from the Mirror. Lefty, fucking Ramona.
It was my predecessor on the Thought Police.
He was your predecessor on Thought Police. I had a conversation with him that we might do a show with him and Matthew D'Ancona.
That's a good idea.
Where they fucking talk a lot of shit. And we tell them the fucking truth.
Yeah.
So we might do like a four-man show.
I like
which would be
that.
Fucking
That's a
great
interesting. Idea. I like
so
that.
So I'm going to meet him for lunch soon and we'll figure it out.
Okay.
Because they've done a couple of shows and quite liked it. But they're kind of novices at it. And I said, well, don't worry. We'll come along and fucking rip you a new arsehole and see how you
All right,
it.
Great. Let's do it.
So that could be good.
Absolutely.
So look out for more announcements coming up. Meanwhile, Kevin O'Sullivan and I will be back same time next week. Don't
in
do
the meantime,
fucking
you can
stupid.
All go fuck yourselves.
Hopefully, one of these weeks, we'll come back to you and go, that cunt Keir Starmer's gone. He's not the Prime
fucking
Minister anymore.
Brilliant, that
He's
would be.
Fucking shot himself
That
in
would
the
be
foot.
A happy new year.
That would be. Anyway, we'll see you soon.
Wankers.